Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? I hope you're all doing well. This time around, I sat down with Ed and Elliot of the band Rough Justice. Rough Justice have a brand new album out on the 12th of January 2024. It is called Faith in Vain. It is very, very good. I highly recommend you check it out. In this conversation, we get into everything about the record. We talk about them growing up in Northern England. We talk about how the band came to be. We talk about hardcore shows. We talk about all the good stuff that you expect from the Nevermind Polly podcast. And we are so, so thankful for your support in 2023 and into 2024. It has been absolutely fan-bloody-tastic. If you would like to support the show, you can by going to social media and typing in Nevermind Polly Podcast. You will find us. Hello. We are on YouTube. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. Give us a like, share, subscribe, follow, all of that good stuff. And until next time, listen to my conversation with Rough Justice on the Nevermind Polly Podcast. Let's get to it. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I am your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this time around, I've got the excellent Rough Justice on the show. I'm chatting to Ed and I'm chatting to Elliot. How are we doing, gents? How's things?
Good, man. All good. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, mate. Thank you.
It's all good. And I need to preface this. So every interview I'm doing in 2023 that's going to go out in 2024, I have still got Christmas decorations up, because Christmas hasn't happened yet. So what I will say in advance of Christmas happening, I hope you've had a lovely one, gents. I hope New Year was lovely and everything else. But I do want to start because you have a brand new record out, which is coming out on the 12th of June, not June, 12th of January even, if I've got my dates and things correct. How are you guys kind of feeling ahead of the record?
Excited to get it out. It's been a long time coming, and it's something that it's like a nice kind of mix of like some older songs and some brand new songs, so it's like a nice varied body of work for us.
For sure.
Yeah, just excitement. We're all really excited. Just exactly what Elle said. It's just been a long time coming. We've just been so excited to get it out for this long, and just finally have something that we can really be proud of and everything. We've all put a lot of work into it as well. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And I want to kind of say as well, I've completed even the Holy Trinity of LTD. LTMV, I can never see the name of the record label. You know the one I mean, the one that you're all on. In any case, I sat down with Josh, obviously, of Malevolence, drummer in your band as well, around 2 years ago. Jack from Guilt Trip came on in the early 2023, so you're in good company. And the album is called Faith in Vain. It's out on the 12th, Rough Justice. Yeah, it's fucking sick. I got sent it a couple of weeks ago, and I've been spinning it ever since. And as I said to you guys off air, basically I'm a mark for hardcore, so it as soon as I put it the first maybe like 2 or 3 minutes, I was like, yeah, I'm all in on this is sick.
Thanks, man, appreciate it.
It's all good. So I wanted to talk as well kind of about this thing, right? Because this record, as I've just said, this record is a hardcore record, but that being said, there is so much kind of space and there's so much more different direction that this record takes, in my humble opinion anyway. I don't generally review records on the show because I feel like other people do it a lot better than I do. But what I will say is there's a lot of kind of, it's a really, really good, like a metal sounding record for 2024, but it also kind of holds that aesthetic of being, you know, an underground, dirty, hardcore record. How did you kind of come into play thinking like that? Can you want to bring that kind of modern production into it, or how did that come about for you guys in that respect?
Well, I think what we've never, I mean you're right in saying it's a hardcore album, but we've never really kind of been into like pigeonholing ourselves
absolutely
as like this or that, and we don't really try and tick boxes or anything when we write. I mean obviously we're all into the same kind of music, we all, you know, like the music, listening to the kind of music that we play, but we've all got kind of our own you know, our own areas of music that we might like more than others, and some of us like certain bands that the other ones might not necessarily be into. So we all kind of bring, I guess, something of ourselves to it, and just kind of see what happens when we do that. So, like, I mean, I always explain this as a metal band to people, because not everyone knows like what hardcore means. Like not everyone understands what it is. They just kind of, it just sounds more of a describing word than rather than a genre of music. So I often just to save me explaining, I'll just say, oh, we're just a metal band. But like you say, we're not. But you know, obviously there are elements of metal in there. There are elements of metal, hardcore in there. There's some elements of grunge in there. Like there's some elements of different types of metal. So it's a mixed bag. But I think in terms of overall, like, and especially like the ethos and everything, I think we're definitely a hardcore band. But like I say, we never want to like pigeonhole ourselves as this or that. We just kind of just make music we like, what we would like listening to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go on, sorry, Elliot, go on.
I was going to just say that I completely agree with Ed in the sense that we don't pigeonhole ourselves. We don't worry about what we're making. We just kind of make it, and it sort of organically sort of becomes what it's become. And it's been quite exciting and intriguing to sort of see how it's come out, because there's definitely more metal sounding ones, and there's definitely more, like I'd said, more grungy sounding ones. And it's quite interesting to sort of think about where that influence has come from and stuff. But yeah,
absolutely. And that kind of leads me quite nicely into my next question, but I kind of wanted to touch as well on the hardcore thing, because as I said previously, I work in a pub, but artists that are fair and things, but basically when I get interview bands and stuff, they're like, oh, what do they sound like? And I'm like, oh, they're like a hardcore band. And because I'm so entrenched in what this music is, I expect every kind of quote unquote normal person who doesn't listen to rock and metal to be like, oh, what, hardcore dance? And I'm like, no, not hardcore dance. And there's like this whole conversation. And like, yeah. I then go on to, you know, show them hardcore videos. Like, oh, you go to those kind of shows where they're like spinning legs and kicking things. I was like, yeah, all that stuff, all that fun stuff. And they're like, oh, that looks fucking terrifying.
Say how big of a genre and movement it is. I think a lot of people could say normies, but you know, they don't have a fucking clue what it is, you know, or absolutely. Like, accessible and common it is, but yeah, it's kind of funny.
Absolutely. So I wanted to take things right back to the beginning for you guys, because I think it's really interesting to see where people kind of got their musical roots from. So how did your kind of journey into heavy music begin? Was it friends, family? How did it all kind of begin for you guys?
You go, Ed, if you like.
What, like personally or as a band?
Yeah, wanted to touch personally how you kind of, because every journey is different, because some people will have you believe their first band they were listening to was Cannibal Corpse, and I tell you what, just generally not true a lot of the time. Like,
my dad, I've got my dad to thank for that. He used to be in a punk band in the 80s, a Sheffield punk band called the Stunt Kites. But he kind of got me listening to music and that, and I think the first gig I went to was Iron Maiden at the arena in 2002 or something. Yeah, metal roots, definitely. just my dad, and then he'd like show me like bands, like he used to have like Audio Slave CDs and like Rage Against the Machine CDs and stuff like that, and I just listened to them, and then that kind of got me into that kind of area of music, and then the rest is history, really. I mean, and then going to school, realizing there were like other kids in my year who like listened to like rock and metal and stuff like that, and punk and stuff like that, like L here.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'd say that you put me onto a lot of stuff, Ed, like bands like Mastodon, things like that I'd never heard of, and then getting to know you, you'd like put that into my brain.
Yeah, and vice versa. Like, I mean, I think for the first 3 years at school, I think L and James, our vocalist, they like grew up together. I mean, I'm not telling your story now, Al, but it was only a few years into going to school that I kind of became mates with L and James.
Yeah.
And that was through this kind of, we kind of realized that we've got this kind of similar taste in music, and that kind of like brought us together and ultimately brought us where we are now.
Yeah, that's how we became mates, weren't it? Because we asked, we were like, don't he like metal? Let's get him into let's get him into a band practice.
And that's the thing. So I kind of use this analogy quite a lot for like Australian bands, right? Because I do believe there is something in the water over there in terms of the kind of creativity and kind of the bands that come out of that country. And it's such a small place. But even when you take something like Sheffield, because Sheffield has got such a rich history in terms of music and bands coming out of that tiny little city. And I mean little, it's metaphorically little, if you see what I mean. But like when you, because you've got like the Manchester city, you've got the kind of Leeds bands and things like that. Sheffield is such a fucking hotbed in terms of historically for bands coming through. Is that something you guys kind of experienced growing up and things? And how was that kind of scene, so to speak, for you guys back then? And how is it now?
I think that... it's difficult sometimes because, you know, if you're involved in something from the get-go, or if you're involved in something, it's difficult to see it from sort of an outsider's view, or you just take it as reality, don't you? It's just,
yeah, of course.
It is what it is. But I think that when we were kids, we would go to shows a lot in Sheffield, and there'd be heavier types of shows, lots more hardcore shows, lots more big metal gigs as well, like Never Say Die tours and stuff like that. They'll come through Sheffield, but I think that the metal side doesn't seem to be as popular nowadays, or the shows aren't being as on the shows, the bigger shows aren't being booked as frequently. But I think that Sheffield's getting a hardcore resurgence now, which is awesome, through venues like the Lugol and stuff like that, DIY funded punk venue in Sheffield.
I was going to say, and this is probably going to alienate a lot of Northern listeners, but I love Sheffield, right? So my other half is from Barnsley originally, right? She's Yorkshire born and bred. But Leeds can get in the fucking bin. Leeds is a shithole. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it how it is. I love Sheffield. Manchester's really cool, but Manchester's a little bit, like, too big. Sheffield
it
is like that.
Me. Yeah, it's too big.
It's kind of that perfect kind of size. That, and then it's just, like I say, I think the only reason I say Leeds is a shithole, I went there twice in my life and it rained both times, like literally biblical rain. So, yeah, that's probably what that is.
I'm gonna plead the fifth on that. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, fair.
We play a lot of gigs in Leeds. Like Leeds has always been good towards. You know what I mean? It's sure. Got some great venues in that. So I'll pass on.
For sure. I do want to touch on as well the fact that Rough Justice, this album, has been in the works for a little while. What's taken so long? How has it come about now? Why is now the right time to release it? Talk me through that process.
Well, I mean, it's a product of circumstance, really, isn't it? So we're like, so obviously, I mean, we've been a band for 10 years, and it's always been the case that like the idea of doing the band wasn't to like, we didn't want to like become like necessarily like massive or anything. We just wanted to play music that we liked. So that has kind of helped us, but hindered us at the same time, because we're not aiming it at anything. We've not really kind of always had any kind of impetus to like crack on and do, you know what I mean? Because writing an album takes a lot of work. Like you've actually got to get together, write the stuff, record it, kind of go, like it takes a while. So, but I think a couple of, I mean, was it like 3 years ago, El? I think we kind of got to a point where we had a good few songs, and we were like, right, let's get this done now properly. Let's get an actual album written. Let's record it properly. Let's get some like, let's do it the way we should have done this whole time. Let's actually kind of knuckle down a bit with it. I mean, the ethos didn't change. We didn't say like, let's write an album to do really well. We just said, well, we've got these songs, let's put them together and actually like do it.
I think like when we played that South Bank show with Malev, I felt like that was kind of a catalyst to sort of like changing how we did it a little bit. And like you say, the ethos didn't change, but I think it was more, let's just put a little bit more energy and effort into it, and then just kind of see where it goes, you know. And yeah, like you say, like we had a few songs, so we were like, let's write some more, and you know, just like sort of go put a little bit more time and effort into it, and just sort of, because you know, because that show was great, weren't it? And it, you know, we had such a good reaction and stuff, and loads of people coming up and speaking to us from other cities who had traveled to come see us and stuff, and it was really humbling and that. So we were like, well, let's give it a bit more of a kick, you know.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Ever since I was about 13, 14, I've kind of grown up going to hardcore gigs, right, and things like that. And in that respect, I probably should have come across Rough Justice live, but alas, I haven't. So imagine my absolute delight when Malevolence go, oh, we're bringing out Rough Justice and Pain of Truth on a club tour that's coming to Norwich. Fucking get it, yeah. Lads, love that. Yeah. You won't see me anywhere near the front because I am 30 and your riffs make me want to mosh, and I can't do that age 30 because I'll have to take 2 weeks off work after. But that being said, how do you guys go about kind of band prep for tour? What's kind of the mood like ahead of that tour when it rolls around?
Everyone will be nervous.
See, I don't know why that seems like an obvious thing for you to say, because I think when hardcore bands generally speaking play, they all just look like you're having a fucking riot like up there. So yeah. To say that you're nervous, it kind of, when you say the word nervous, I think of more of like kind of like a proggy band who's like looking at their fretboards and all the rest of it, whereas a hardcore band just gets up and goes, right, let's fucking do it. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, fair.
I think my experience of being a little bit nervous from playing hardcore shows or metal shows or anything heavy is that you're kind of a bit nervous on the lead up to it. As soon as you play that first fucking note, mm-hmm. it's just energy. And then you don't feel nervous, or I don't, after that initial, you know, as soon as you play your first note, you're just in it then, and you're loving it, and the energy's high, the crowd's, you know, often wild, and it's like, you know, it's like nothing else, really.
Absolutely. How about you, Ed?
Yeah, I think it's a balance, isn't it? Like you said, obviously we're not a prog band, so we're not. we're not like Noodlers or anything.
For sure.
But obviously it's a balance between you want to go out and have fun, and you know, obviously that involves just having a good time. But at the same time, you need to maintain a bit of pressure on yourselves to perform well. That has to be in place, because that you're performing for people, aren't you? Mm-hmm. So you have to. So it's kind of it's a balance there, and I think maybe that's where the pressure comes from. But it's exactly like Ella says. I mean, it's almost like artificial pressure, because you're bricking it all the way up to it. At least sometimes. I mean, at Outbreak, we played Outbreak in June, July, and that was quite a big one for us. I mean, given like, you know, the prestige of the festival and everything. And we're all bricking it, but like Ella says, as soon as you get on stage, it all goes away, and you kind of go into like enjoyment mode then. So
I think kind of ultimately we just want to have fun, and we don't really care too much. But because have been playing for so long, we do want to make it cool, and we do want to be tight, and you do want to make a good impression, and you know, we just want, if we're going to play a show, we might as well make it as fucking sick as possible, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I went to Outbreak Festival for the first time this year, and can I just say that is the coolest, but yet the fucking hottest venue I've ever been in. And I just remember I only went on the Saturday, and I went out into like the smoking area outside, and it was about 30 degrees. It was 30 degrees indoors, outdoors. Like, it was just so fucking sweaty. Like, amazing, but like, oh my God. I get like flashbacks when I close my eyes at night about how fucking hot that venue was.
Yeah, it was fucking hot, man.
Yeah, they picked the weekend for it, didn't they?
Absolutely, of course they did. Weekend, yeah. Absolutely. I wanted to kind of drill down a little bit about the album as well, because I think in 2024, as this podcast is going out and things, artwork is such an underappreciated thing, right? And I wanted to talk about how fucking sick the artwork is for this record. And I've got the gentleman who done it, Adam Burke. How did that come about? Did you approach him? Did he approach you? Because he fucking killed it, man. How did that all come about?
Yeah, approached him. Yeah, we found him on Instagram.
Yeah, I think maybe James or you, Ed, has been has noticed his artwork before, and And we knew we wanted to do something really cool, didn't we? We didn't want to just do something that like is quite stereotypically seen on hardcore covers. As cool as that is, we wanted to kind of do something a little bit different and do something that kind of represented the feel of the record and sort of like, and what we're about as people as well, just sort of like our general vibe. So yeah, I think we just kind of approached him and just gave him a few ideas, and that was that, really.
Absolutely. To
be fair, I love that artwork.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I love it.
What was it a case of you guys saying, this is kind of what we want, or is it kind of like, this is a vibe we want? Because that's the thing, like, to liken it to something that I, as a humble man, kind of one person, can kind of relate to, it's like going for a tattoo. Because, like, you either know exactly pinpoint what you want, or it's kind of like, just go with the vibe. I want this kind of style, this kind of vibe. Do your magic. Do you know what I mean? Was it kind of a direct thing, or was it kind of do your magic kind of thing?
Well, I think, so we met, we decided when we got in contact with him, we were like, right, so we kind of met up at the pub, not with him, he lives in America, but us met up at the pub and kind of just thought, right, we'll just chuck some ideas around like what we want. And I think we came up with some keywords or something, didn't we, Al? I think it was like, so the name of the album is based on the single Faith in Vain. So we told Adam what the kind of theme of the song was, and then we kind of sent him some of his artwork that we liked. So we said, we like this, we like kind of this kind of style. And then we kind of nailed down, I think, like two keywords. I think one of them was like cosmic.
Like astral or something like that.
Astral, cosmic or something. So we want something kind of like spacey. Mm. And these are the kind of keywords we want. This is the theme of the song on the title track of the album. Just go wild, basically. We didn't tell him what we wanted actual object in the picture was, but we just let him go wild with it. And
we didn't want to, again, pigeonhole him too much, did we? Similar with the tattoo, you just want to give him a sort of brief overview and then kind of let him work the magic, really.
Absolutely. A question I've been asking a lot of bands recently is, if do you have any advice for any bands or artists who are kind of wanting to get into bands, any kind of bands who are currently in the industry, just kind of any advice that you kind of may have found yourselves, either through fault of your own or kind of just advice you found along the way, just to help bands along and people in the industry?
Make sure you're having fun.
For sure.
Keep it. There's no point doing it if you're not having fun, is there? You're just wasting.
Sure. I wouldn't care too much about what people think, you know. Just do whatever you want to do. And like, if you're caring too much about whatever people think, you might be doing it for the wrong reasons, you know. Like Ed says, you want to be having fun, and you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of people make bands for different reasons, but I think ultimately it has to be fun, doesn't it? Like, that's which is what makes sense to me and for us. And I think that's why we've been a band for so long, because we find it so fun. It would have been very easy for us years ago to have just gone, you know what, let's just fuck it off, like, we're all really busy. And then we wouldn't have, you know, got to this point now and be chatting with you. So it's, you know, it's, I think some people take themselves kind of a bit too seriously as well. Like, we're all doing the same thing, just playing music, aren't we, with our friends. But I get there's different levels to it and all that. But I think, yeah, ultimately, like Ed says, I think to be having fun is key, definitely for us anyway.
Absolutely. And again, like, I'm not in a band. I've just seen kind of from the outsider perspective, and I've been to a lot of shows and things. Like, being in a band can be fucking hard work, right? When you're kind of loading in and out and like, you bloody, I don't know, like, your fucking guitar pedal goes wrong or the fucking string snaps mid, so you think, fuck's sake, like, they're the kind of things that really like piss you off or annoy you. And then in the retrospect of that is when you're playing a sick show and you come off stage and go, that was sick, that is why we do it. Do you know what I mean? And all the kind of internal stupid little fights and squabbles and things like that, and things that do go wrong, kind of make it worthwhile when you go and play a sick show or a sick record comes out. Do you see what I mean? It's kind of like that.
You've hit the nail on the head, really, with that. Absolutely. It can be difficult at times and frustrating, but equally, you know, after you play the show, everyone's just beaming and just wants to do it again. And, you know, it's like, as Ronan Keating once said, life is a roller coaster. You've just got to ride it.
I love that you've brought Ronan Keating on this podcast. I love that. I think that's the first shout out that man's had in the 4 years as we've done this. So yeah, there we go.
Ronan, we're tight.
First time for everything.
I wanted to ask, where is the weirdest or the strangest place you've ever played a show? And it doesn't have to be a negative experience. It can just be you've all looked around each other and gone, well, who the fuck booked this then? Like, why are we here?
We've all played at the same place, but we weren't in the same band.
For sure, that works.
Right. So we were in different bands at this time. So Elle was in another. It was before Elle joined Rough Justice a few years in, but Elle was in another band when Rough Justice was just a four piece called In Arms. Mm-hmm. We played a gig. Our mate lived in Leeds.
For sure.
lived in Leeds.
Such a good one.
In like a student house.
Yeah.
It was the drummer in Elle's band, In Arms. And he basically said, let's put a gig on in my basement, mm-hmm. in the cellar of my house.
Yeah.
So we invited, we drove 30 lads from Sheffield, came over to this house.
Yeah.
And put a gig on with PA and stuff, mm-hmm. in the cellar of this house.
Yeah.
So it's the height of summer. And but he didn't tell his housemate. We're halfway through this gig. I don't even, the gig might have finished, but we're just partying and everything. There's 30 lads from Sheffield in this house. And his housemates came back and he just not told them. And there's all these lads in the cellar, and there's all these bands playing metal music in the cellar, and they were just what the fuck is going on here?
I love Malev, that, didn't they? Malev played it, and Arms played it. So much good stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? Obviously, basement shows are kind of a more Americanized thing. I think we should bring basement shows to the UK. Although, that being said, there's not many that many basements, I don't think. Generally, how British houses and things are built, they don't tend to have basements so much. So we could do lofts, right? You just build bands up in lofts.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, there was house shows.
House show, exactly, for sure.
Playing in kitchens and shit. That was pretty fun. Don't see much of that anymore.
Absolutely. Oh, so there's a lot of kind of negativity, right, on the internet, and people spout a lot of shit, right? But I think it's really important to tell people who is the best band you've ever seen live. Now, I started this question in 2024, gone, who's the best and who's the worst? But you know what? Bands sometimes have bad gigs, and that's totally fine. They could be a great fucking band and have a bad show. So I fucked off the last part of that question. But who's the best band you've seen live? It can be ever or just recently you've seen. Who springs to mind?
Fuck, right.
Great band, just, by the way. Fuck not.
Yeah. I'm going to say...
go on, Ed.
I reckon Tool, but they're one of my favourite bands, so...
For sure.
Yeah. First time I saw them, I'd be... It's when they, I think they played Download, and they'd not played the UK in, something 13 years or something ridiculous like that. And it was a lot of people wondering if they're ever going to come back. They got announced for Download, and they finished festival on the Sunday.
Yeah,
and that was just fucking insane. That were incredible. So yeah, it's full.
I went to that Download festival, and I caught the final Slayer show on the second stage. And to say that I was battered and bruised is not an understatement.
Yeah.
So I wandered.
Well, that was the same time as Tool. So it was a bit of a bittersweet on that, because I obviously. You know, the Slayer playing the last, it was the last UK show, I can't remember.
Yeah, last UK show.
That was probably the worst clash ever, but it makes sense because not all Slayer fans are Tool fans and vice versa, so yeah.
Absolutely. I remember, I walked past the main stage coming out from the second stage, and I just sort of looked at Tool, and I just remember being in so much pain, being thrown around in a mosh pit, and I was like... I just can't. And it's weird because I don't want to kind of age shame or anything, but you look the kind of same age, sort of 30s, I would say, yourself, Ed?
29.
So yeah, I'm 29. How the fuck do you know about Tool as a 29-year-old? Because Tool haven't been on Spotify or anything like that for years, or they are now, but back in the day when you're kind of getting in, it's so strange. My former co-host, his favourite band is Tool, and he was 20, and I was how? Like, you'd have to go into HMV or whatever and search that out. Yeah. It's so strange, but fucking cool, man. Cool. Yeah. How about you, Elliot?
It's really difficult for me to think of when people put me on the spot, but I think that when, just because we're on this podcast with Ed, I think me and Ed went to go see Mastodon.
For sure.
When they just released Emperor of Sand. Is that album?
That's the one.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best heavy gigs I'd ever seen. It blew my mind. Like, I knew it was going to be good, but it was that was incredible, that show, weren't it, Ed?
Yeah.
Like, all the visuals, they were so tight. The tone was on point. Everything about it was fucking sick. It's like such a mix of old and new songs. So, yeah, they're definitely one of the heaviest bands I've seen live.
You know what? With the Mastodon thing, I've seen Mastodon a couple of times indoors, and I've seen them a couple of times outdoors. Their outdoor show, I just don't think Mastodon should play outdoors anymore, because the sound just doesn't translate. They're so technically brilliant, but they just get lost, and it's kind of like... And if you're like I say, if you go into a festival and you go, oh, I love like Blood and Thunder and I love kind of Leviathan, I'm going to go listen to Mastodon, cool. And then you go, you're like, oh, okay, that's good, but it's not. But then you see them indoors and they're like a whole fucking different band. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's so upsetting.
I think, for bands like that, you want it to be more visual and more, want to be locked in kind of some kind of dark place or something. But a lot of space. And you're playing it outdoors.
Absolutely. I've got a couple of kind of questions for you gents, right? And one of which is a question I've asked everyone in 2023, and I'm bringing it into 2024, right? And essentially, it's a dream festival rider, right? Now, the premise of this is, so when Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, whoever buy this podcast, right, I'm going to have lots of big corporate money, right? Rather than reinvest it into the podcast, I'm going to blow it on one big fucking festival. And every band who's been on the podcast, like yourselves, are invited. So that's all good. But what I want to know is, because we're having it in a massive field, the biggest field we can get our hands on, and we've got loads of lovely corporate sponsor money, we can have whatever you want on the Dream Rider. Now, I'll give you a little bit of a context what other people have said. We've had things like saunas. We've had things like petting zoos. We've had like roller coaster rides. We've had genuine people just say to me, I just want to turn up and play. And I'm like, but you can have anything. You can make your life so easy. And they're like, no, just want to play. And I'm like, fair play. Like, So what would you guys like to add?
Well, we love copious amounts of lamb madras. That has to be a necessity on the ride.
I love that. I was going to say, you can have one each. That's absolutely fine. But yeah, lamb madras, that's a new one. I've had a couple of specific food requests, but never a lamb madras. That's going on.
Preferably a big vat of it would be good. Yeah.
Big old fat of lamb madras.
Yeah.
Loads of Stella. Mm-hmm. And maybe fortune teller.
Nice. apart from fortune teller, you're definitely playing up to your northern roots there.
fortune teller to tell us how sick our set was.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something weird that Dodgums. We could get. Dodgems. I'd do my back.
Dodgems is such a sick show.
Cars. Get that in there.
Oh, this is. I mean, this happens quite often anyway with like some bigger bands, but like a masseuse, someone to give me a sports massage after I play would be great.
You're not the first person to say that, so that's definitely on hand. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's doable, I feel.
Absolutely. So obviously the album's out on the 12th of January, which will be around, if not the same time as this podcast going out. What is ahead for the rest of 2024? Obviously you've got the support tour with Malev. What is ahead for the rest of the year that we can talk about?
I think we've been a little bit hesitant to just book too much in just yet, just because we wanted to focus on getting the album out and after we release the album, see what we get offered then and go from there, really. So we've been holding off, to be honest. We've had to say no to quite a few cool things. So I think we're playing a couple of shows, aren't we, Ed?
We'll definitely be doing a release show in Sheffield for the album. So that'll be post the Malevolence tour. We're going to get we're going to look at doing a really special release show in Sheffield. We're going to try not don't want to say too much, but we're going to try and look at some a specific venue that's been in the hearts of many people in UK hardcore. I'm not going to say too much about that.
For sure.
We're going to look into that. But so that'll be really good.
European shows definitely on the cards, aren't they?
We're playing Burn It Down Fest in, is that what it's called? In Torquay in the end of August.
I think it might be
such a good time. I'm from Norwich, which is the arse end of fucking nowhere, right? And we're very lucky. We do get bands come through, but we just have to take us a fucking mission to get out of bloody Suffolk / Norfolk. But Torquay is one of my lists. I'm getting married in July, and my other half said we're not allowed to spend any fucking money on festivals, which really upsets me. But although,
congratulations,
thank you. It's a slow invasion of the Northerner. She's brought her cat with her. She's brought herself down here, and now she's going to be saying fucking tea cakes rather than bloody buns. But there we go. I've got one final question for you, gents, and that is: what is the best thing about being in a band for you both personally? I feel like Elliot's already said it, just being fun, but I don't want to speak on your behalf, but yeah.
For me, it's just having fun. Like, I think we're quite lucky in the respect that, like, we are kind of like best mates, all five of us. Like, we're really, really close mates. We all kind of just get on really well. Like, even just going to band practice, like, it's even in when it's winter, it's cold, and you've got to stand in like a cold room, your hands are cold, you're playing music, like, on paper that shouldn't be that fun, but we just play the same songs over and over again. It's always just a good time. Like, it's just like the best hobby you could ever have, if you want to put it that way. Like, it's just it's just the fun of playing music with each other.
I think it's similar with me. I think that it's something very cathartic about playing such heavy music, and sometimes quite emotional music, with your best friends. I think there's something to be said about that, and it's just feel very fortunate to get to do it, whether we're playing a big show or a tiny show or just at band practice. It's nice. It gives us a reason to get together as well, you know, because we're so busy and stuff. We're like, you know, we're always chatting. We're always doing that. And I think it's just quite a special thing. And I think that after we release this album, we'll kind of look back on it and be really proud of it. And it makes us closer friends, really, which is real nice.
Absolutely. That is the perfect way to end the podcast. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for your time. Faith in Vain is out on the 12th of January. It's been a fucking pleasure, and I shall see you at the Norwich show. And
yeah, please come and say hello, man.
You know what? Don't tell him, because I did promise Josh a beer when he came on like 2 years ago. He might have probably forgotten, but I will if I catch you at the Norwich show, beers all round, because time is precious, and I'm very thankful for yours. Thank you, gentlemen.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
We'll see you all soon. Peace and love.